And it's called the Lord's Supper. We're going to focus on the Lord's Supper. Father, we are hungry for you, and we just thank you so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us and pay the price for our sins, but also rise again. And so by placing our faith and trust in you and you alone and confessing our sins with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be saved. So Lord, thank you that we can have communication with you because of the shed blood of your Son. Praise the Lord for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul in Corinthians addressing again the issues of liberty and responsibility, of marriage and unity, the things that are going on in the church at Corinth. Because there was things going on that caused division in the church at Corinth. There was different groups, rich and poor, Jews and Greek, all coming together in the name of Jesus. And that's what church is all about. And communion was a very important institution that Jesus instituted, that we as Christians take. But unfortunately, in the church of Corinth, people had turned it into a drunken party. This agape love feast they were supposed to have, where people would bring bread and enjoy and share with each other's company at the Lord's Supper, turned into something that was embarrassing. Because some people would come and bring a bunch of food, and then they would go through the line first and not leave anything for anybody else. And other people would use it as an excuse just to get free food and drink all they wanted. And so it was chaotic, not orderly. But the Lord's Supper is so important that our conduct before an almighty God should reflect a holy God. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in 17, Paul instructs the church and us on how our response is about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 17. Now, given these instructions, 11:17, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not the Lord to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. It's the Lord's Supper, instituted by Jesus to remember his sacrifice, the purpose that he came to the earth. He instituted the Lord's Supper communion to us to remember that we are totally free from the power and penalty of sin. And Jesus, I think, loved to eat. Don't you? I think he was a foodie. Right? The call of Matthew, remember? He's eating with sinners. Levi, he goes up to Levi, Matthew. He says, come follow me. And Levi stands up, and Levi's the tax collector. He stands up and follows him. And he goes, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. And so Levi's giving him a great feast. He's giving him honor, because we are to honor the king. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is Jesus. He's giving him a great feast. It was a sign of honor. And the Pharisees were talking to him, and he told them, those who are well are no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he's ministering when he's eating and hanging out. There's something about eating together or breaking bread together where we really get to know someone. And I encourage you to do that. Invite someone over. What do we do after graduation? You bring people over and you eat. It's an all-day thing, right? And you think, oh, is that one cake going to be enough? We better get two because people are here, right? Then we want to eat again. What do we do after any event, major event in our life? Wedding celebrations. What do we do? Eat, right? Jesus knew that. Hanging around with people who love to eat, right? And he says, I came to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he's out hanging around with other people, the lost in the world. Make sure, pray about this. I want to encourage every one of us to show up to Praise in the Park. It's a big outreach. People will be telling others about Jesus. Jesus will be proclaimed. Jesus will be honored, I pray. And I pray that people will come to know Jesus. And so sign up for Praise in the Park. Even just show up. If you're not going to sign up, at least pray for Praise in the Park. Start praying for it. Praying for lost people to come to know Jesus. Now another example of Mark 6. Jesus is a foodie. He's feeding the 5,000. Eating. People are coming listening to him. 5,000 people. They're getting hungry. And what does Jesus tell his disciples? You get them something to eat. You do it. So it shows our responsibility, right? Feeding the people, right? Even in Peter's, Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. It's all about hospitality, coming together, showing the love of Jesus to others through food. And in John, in 21, Jesus rose from the dead, and he's hanging around, and he tells to throw the net on the other side of the boat, and they catch 153 fish. And he's sitting on the shore and with the fish, and he tells his disciples, come and eat breakfast. Isn't that cool about Jesus? Just hanging around, doing the normal things that everybody does, eating breakfast with each other, talking, sharing the word. And so no wonder when the Lord's Supper was instituted, the bread and the cup represent the broken body and the shed blood of our sins. Because he even says that he is the bread of life. He says, I am the living water. If you drink of my water, you'll not be thirsty again. And so communion is not a time of just a big celebration, but it's also a time of examination. And he gives us instructions in the institution of the Lord's Supper in 23. For I received from the Lord that which I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he has betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So it's a time of examination. And it's a time when we think and reflect about how great a sacrifice that our Lord Jesus gave up for us. His body was broken. His body was bruised. He shed all his blood on the cruel cross. And some people think that, you know what, I shouldn't be able to take communion because I'm such a sinner. I'm so messed up. You don't know what I'm doing. But that would be like saying, you know, I need a doctor, but I won't go to the doctor just to get healed. He is the great physician. Maybe you think the thing is he's talking about here is we take the cup and the bread not in an unworthy manner. It's the Bible tells us to examine ourselves in 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge yourself, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. This unworthy, lightly, taking things casually, unhonoring, careless in our behavior and our attitudes towards the things of God and Jesus Christ. And if we eat and drink without examining ourselves, the unjudged sinner lives, we're not honoring God. So it's a time of examination. Because God loves us too much to allow us to wallow and stay in our sins. He chastens us. And the Lord's Supper, as we take the Lord's Supper, is not literally the body and the blood, as some churches teach. Because, you know, He hadn't died yet when He instituted this. It's a symbol of what is going, what's going to happen. The Lord's Supper, communion, the giving of thanks. We are to be so thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross that joy should come out of us because we have eternal life in heaven as Christians. And it gives Christians an opportunity for spiritual growth as we examine what's going on in our lives when it's done in an honorable way. And communion too often can become ritualistic and just another routine we do or a churchy thing. In the Bible, it says, here's the institution of the Lord's Supper. It doesn't say a pastor or a priest or someone has to do communion. Dads, spiritual leaders in your family can institute and do communion with your family. Okay? And so communion is being thankful for all that God has done for us, being thankful at all times for all things wherever we're at. It's a state of spiritual purity. And it's examining what we've done. It's communion or the Lord's Supper is remembering all the pain and the suffering that Jesus paid for Christ for us on the cross. Remembering and thinking about how this amazing God-man would die for us. It's remembering that we don't have to do anything to earn our salvation to heaven. It's what He has done for us. This week, if you've been praying for Pastor Saeed, who's in jail in Iran, there was a report that he was in the hospital because of the beatings he was taking in jail. And they let him stay in a hospital where he got more care and better food. Prison guards broke into the hospital room, pulled him out of bed, beat him up, took him back to jail. Keep praying for Pastor Saeed. Standing for his faith. And the only reason he's in jail is because he loves Jesus. That's what's happened in the world. That's how we need to examine ourselves when we think about others and think about Jesus and think about the amazing gift of salvation that we have. Don't ever take it lightly. Jesus is our substitute. He willingly showed His love for us. He bore the sins of the world on Him. And so, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The communication with God in communion, because it's also the Lord's Supper is unifying. It's it draws Christians together. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're communing with God, but we're also communing with each other because it's for Christians, those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no race, there's no rich or poor that excludes people from Jesus. No status, no cliques, no gender, no other things. We no longer live for the things of the world, but for Christ and Christ alone. And when we take communion, we have that fellowship with Jesus and fellowship with others. Pray also for the Johnsons. Many of you might know that in Ukraine right now, they're having elections. Donetsk, where they were, starting the Calvary Chapel, there's been lots of violence. And they're praying for open and honest elections, so their hope is to go back and see the people that they've won to Christ. Pray for them. Pray for the Osbornes in Guatemala, whose friends were just robbed this last weekend, and there's also stuff going on in the courts where adoptions are becoming harder to make again. Pray for your neighbors to come to Christ. Pray for each other that they will come and know Jesus and come to Calvary or come to other Bible-believing churches so they'll have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray, because communication is unifying as Christians. The Lord's Supper is also cleansing. As we examine ourselves, we confess our sins and reminds us how we are free from the penalty and power of sin over our lives. Because often we come to communion, it becomes such this sad and amazing and serious thing. Of course it is. But also, we got to remember that He rose again, and He paid the price for our sins, and so that when we mess up, whether it's one time, or 10 times, or 10,000 times, and we fall down, what do we need to do? We get back up again, and we keep walking with Jesus, and we keep on going. Because the power and the penalty of sin over our lives is defeated on the cross. At the O2 experience we were at, it was a conference for youth. And they presented the gospel and people got saved. But also it was about sex and romance in the age that we live in. And the statistics are amazing. And it was for everybody to hear. We know that 1 in 3 women in the United States will either have an abortion. There are 1 million babies aborted a year in the United States. Other data statistics say that people are more and more getting involved in internet pornography. The number one data transferred between on the internet is pornography. And so people, men, women, whoever it is, whatever, are having adulterous affairs, not with a person, a real person, but with this image on the computer. When we think about communion, Lord's Supper, it's commitment. Commitment to Jesus. And it was interesting and amazing to see at the O2 experience, everyone who attended that conference stood up and made a commitment to say, we, from this day forward, are going to be committing our lives to be pure, to be holy, to be set apart and live our life for Christ. So those things in the world that tempt us, those things that happen, we're not even going to deal with it anymore. Commitment. Because when we take communion, we know that there's hope. Because this world is crying out for hope. And the hope that satisfies only, that fills that deep empty void in us, is Jesus Christ our Lord. It's commitment. It's saying that we're proclaiming that Jesus died and that He's coming again. And we're looking forward to that return of Him. And He could come at any moment. And we're looking forward to our home in heaven. And that could be at any moment. Because the Lord's Supper is also a connection, a koinonia, a fellowship with each other. And having a family meal and sharing together. And where we remember the love of Jesus and the love of others. And how we really get to know Jesus and each other by sharing a meal. The Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps constant communion with Him will see many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving. And so it's time for communion. And I'll have the men come forward and serve communion. And when you take communion, it's not only a time of examination, but also it's a time of reflection and looking forward to the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today, and as you're taking communion, it is the day of your salvation, where you think and you pray and you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So please, wait till everyone is served, and then we'll lead you in communion. The same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Lord Jesus, as we examine and reflect and think and ponder Your broken body, what You did for us, through Your sacrifice we have life and hope and joy. We are filled with gratitude and thankfulness. And Lord, thank You for forgiving us for our sins. Thank You for paying the price for our debt. And thank You for setting us free. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Your grace is amazing. Your shed blood covers us, makes us righteous before the Father. So, Lord, we proclaim you and want to live our lives honoring you, obeying you, and following you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.